I talked to Corinne yesterday and gave her the call in and code. What is that? Her? There she is.
Okay. She'll give us a quorum.
Yeah.
Hi, I've been waiting for a long time, and then I got worried when it said it was 6 o'clock, and they said that the meeting hadn't started yet. So.
You know what it is, Corinne? I think when I start the meeting in Zoom, I start it in practice session, and then I take the practice session off. So that's probably when it clicked you into the attendee list. I'll have to remember that for the next time.
Okay. Well, I was worried that maybe I had the wrong info. Then I had no idea how to get a hold of anybody on their cell phone to tell them. So, Scott, where is Shannon?
Shannon is in North Bend now. She left a little over a month ago, I guess, now. Is working in North Bend at a community college. I think she has family and friends up there. So she relocated.
Yeah, we'll miss her really professional way of doing things. She was great.
Yeah, now you're just stuck with me as admin.
Yeah, well, you know, you had airport commission on the printout for the transportation commission.
No, I don't know how that got stuck on the PDF header thing. I couldn't figure out how to get rid of it.
It's okay. Okay, I'm going to call this June 24th, 2021 meeting of the Ashland Transportation Commission to order. We've already said happy birthday to Mark. Announcement, ODOT's pavement improvement project on Siskiyou between Walker and I-5 began today, and it's slated to continue until July 6th. Expect delays and watch out for flaggers and the crews. We're also under our heat.
Walker and I-5, how does that connect?
All along Siskiyou, all along 99 from Walker all the way to I-5.
Okay. I didn't know Siskiyou touched I-5. But,
It ends there.
It ends there.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Okay, consent agenda. I'm going to use my new handy dandy save time using Robert's Rules function here and say, if there is no objection or correction, can we approve the minutes?
I have a
corrections.
Darn. Okay, Mark?
Under the announcements, it's road advocates, not road advocates.
Okay.
And it was either old or new busyness.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the way I used to spell it when I was little, too.
Got it.
Any others? Can I motion to approve?
You did a good job, Scott.
Yeah.
I'll move to approve.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Okay. Or Catherine, I think, had her hand up first. And everybody, aye? Okay. Public forum. I'd like to acknowledge both the Ashland Climate Action Project's letter and Gary Schaff's thorough response to the SEEP implementation document. Is there anybody else waiting to speak?
Nobody else.
Okay. Next up, the crash report.
Good evening.
Hi.
This month here, some of the crashes are starting to pick back up. I would like to say this month we didn't have any pedestrian or bike crashes. That's one good thing. Three crashes involved DUIs. I would like to say there that one of the DUIs was actually outside the city, and it was in the El Tapatio parking lot. They're involved in a crash down there. One of the other crashes was also outside the city, out in Eagle Mill, And then another crash was inside the Albertsons parking lot. So both those are out of our right of way. The Tolman Creek Siskiyou intersection there had another stop sign taken out last month. But I would like to say that since we've gotten an independent way open up, apparently we haven't had any crashes out there on Ashland and Washington Street.
That's great.
I think we kind of helped that section out there. Don't really have a whole lot to report this month. Nothing really major. One of the crashes, it was a medical. Actually, there was two of them that were kind of medical. I couldn't find much on the other one, but the one on Siskiyou Boulevard is mine. I think he's 22 years old, inbound on Siskiyou Boulevard. He had a seizure and wound up going. His girlfriend, the passenger, actually grabbed the steering wheel and jerked it to the right, and they sideswiped a parked car and then ended up in a yard where the vehicle stopped there. They both were transported. He wasn't injured, but clearly with him having a seizure and passing out at times, he was transported and actually dislocated her shoulder in the crash. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay.
Officer McLennan, what kind of DUIs? Are they always alcohol, or are they drugs, or are they marijuana?
It doesn't say on these reports, and I didn't specifically look it up. I mean, if you guys would like me to start reporting on the DUIs, if they're drug or alcohol, I certainly can, but...
Are there a lot of them, or are they mostly just regular alcohol?
A big chunk of our DUIs are actually a combination of. It's very, very common that when people are drinking alcohol, they also do other drugs along with it. So we call it a poly-DUI, poly-drug DUI. We do have several that are just straight drug DUIs that we get during the month. But they're not reported on here because they're not involved in a crash.
I have another question. I saw on the Ashland email list that two men were arrested for bias at a gas station. What is bias? How do you get arrested for bias?
It was a hate crime.
And so they call it bias instead of a hate crime?
Yeah, that's some of the new wording that the state's taken on, yes.
Okay. It doesn't describe much. What happened?
I don't know. I wasn't involved in that at all.
Yeah. Okay.
A man was assaulted by two other men.
In town?
Yeah.
It took place at one of the gas stations out at exit 14.
Yeah, right.
And the people charged were not local. They were from Northern California.
I believe they're California, because I know our
dispatchers
went down there.
That was a report, yeah.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Officer McLennan, also, how is it indicated here if the person has been using a cell phone or, you know, otherwise distracted when it's not a DUI? Does that show?
We don't have that on this report. I'm not sure if that's something that they'd like to put on there or not, but the cause of the crash isn't documented on here. It's just by me going back through the reports.
How hard would it be to put distracted driving on the report? Or is that just a complication you guys don't need?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it is actually on the crash reports that we use.
Okay.
It's on the back side. So it would actually, on the report that's being submitted to you guys, it would be something that you would want on there, and Leah could put it on there just by looking at the back of our crash report that we submit to her. There's always the cause, the direction of the crash listed on the back.
Okay.
That's a state requirement for us.
Is that something we think we want on there, given the Vision Zero project and maybe the action plan incorporating distracted driving into it?
Yeah.
Mark?
I was going to ask if we could get the cause of the crash in there, specifically if it's speeding or something like that, because then we could use that also so we can start planning, so we can see where it's coming from.
Right.
Because I bet you, Mr. Officer McLennan, will probably say most of the accidents are caused by not paying attention or speeding.
That's exactly what it is. You know, when people say that, you know, they were doing nothing and this just happened, well, clearly they were doing something. And we do get a fair amount of that. And I believe myself that a lot of times they're on the phone, but they're not going to admit that.
Sure.
You speculate that most of those are the following too close?
That is generally what it is, because if they're not going to give us anything else, well, then clearly you were too close and you could not stop in time.
Yeah.
Or the one that rear ends the parked vehicle. I mean, that parked vehicle didn't jump out in front of you. So there's a reason for it. You're not looking at the road.
Yeah, I was definitely interested with just the volume of accidents this last month. And I read an article or a portion of an article that more and more people are starting to drive again as things change. And people's driving habits have gotten, what this article said, based on the statistics, is exponentially worse. Because they haven't been driving. Yeah.
You know, I think it's a combination of not only have they not been driving, but also law enforcement has been cutting back the contacts because of COVID, that they're going and just, you know, they're getting away with it. And so they're feeling more comfortable about doing it.
Yeah. During the State Transportation Safety Action Plan draft meeting that they had, the public hearing, officers were saying that people are speeding more, you know, because nobody's doing any kind of enforcement and they think they can get away with it. So
when the state first got shut down, in that first about 6 weeks, I had stopped 3 people for doing over 100 on the interstate. I'm lucky if I stop one a year, and I got 3 within a very short time frame in the beginning here, because they knew that, I mean, state police had announced they're not going to be taking any traffic enforcement, and people right then and there just dropped and started driving like crazy.
Yep. Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
So,
Joe, sorry.
I'm probably the only one who ever worries about this, but the more things we put on the list that are violations that aren't cited, the more inconsistent we look. So I think we just need to be a little bit careful. I note once again that one of the best ways to do something bad and not get cited is to hit somebody from the rear. You know, we had citations off, then we had them on, and it's a little bit concerning to me, since this is a public record. You just need to be careful, because driving with a cell phone is a violation. It's supposed to be cited. But if it's not cited, but it's listed, then it doesn't look so good. That's all.
So I'm wondering how we can collect that data then.
Do you need that box on there that says cited, yes or no? I mean, if you remove that, then.
No, didn't we remove that?
We removed it, then we put it back on.
It's back on.
Here.
It was my idea to take it off, and then the other commissioners wanted to put it back on. So that's okay. That's the reason I have is the same as it always has been, but the group may want to have that information.
Well, should we table that until farther down the road, or do you guys want to decide on that now? Catherine?
Joe, are you saying that on this spreadsheet here, where it's listed next to injury or DUI or police on site, that there was not a column for cited there, or that it also didn't show up in the cause description?
We at a certain point we took that off, and then we put it back on. And the reason for taking it off was because there were a lot of cases, since it's the individual officer's discretion. You could have 2 or 3 crashes that were rear end crashes, and one person would be cited and 2 people would not be cited. And this is probably one of the easiest ways for citizens to find out and see whether there's any inconsistency. And so my concern was if, as a commission, if we saw that, we really can't do anything about it. So because it's, you know, the individual officer and the chief's decision about that. And that's just the way our police department works. And so my feeling was it was good. It's good to be consistent. If we're not consistent, it's probably better not to talk about it. But it's up to the commission. And the other commissioners decided they really wanted to know that. So we added the officer on site and citation, which of course shows if there was an officer on site who didn't issue a citation, that shows up as well as when there were no officer on site and it was just information exchanged.
Right.
So it just depends on which is the best, what's most useful for the commission and what's most useful for citizens and what's the best kind of information that we want to have out. I've always worried if we don't do anything about it, which we can't do anything about it, then it doesn't help us to know if there's a citation or not, because we talked to the chief said they're not going to change their policy. So.
Mark?
My suggestion would be this, replace the citation column with cause of crash, because if you look in the notes, cause, well, we already have it there, cause driver error. We already have the cause there, so maybe we just table it.
Yeah. Let's hold off until we get some indication of what data we're going to need for the once implementation of the Vision Zero thing goes in. Does it sound good?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in general, I would say the most critical thing or the cause of the crash and the location of the crash. The location helps you define if it's a systemic problem associated with a type of crash are very critical pieces of information to look at putting in mitigating efforts to reduce that type of crash or crash type.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to new business. Unless anybody else has anything. Derek, do you have anything to say?
Nope, just listening.
Okay, glad you're here. New okay. business is commission meeting policy. So as a commission, we need to decide how we will be running the meetings, either virtually or in person. And because of the lack of administrative support, because of service reductions, to record, organize, and get the information out to the public because of those service reductions. If there are no objections, using my new handy dandy save time Roberts rules function again, I would like to propose that we continue to meet virtually by Zoom until such time that the city administration determines who will serve in those support functions.
I would like to continue, not just until such time, but I'd like to continue doing Zoom meetings. They're really practical for me because I don't have to scramble to get a ride. And I mean, I'm being selfish. I'm talking about me. But it really works for me to do Zoom. I don't know if other people are comfortable with it. And it's easy to hear people. I don't know if we'll be wearing masks if we meet in person. Or...
Okay.
I would like for us...
Go ahead, Catherine.
I'd like for us to meet at least twice a year in person. Just, you know, I don't think it needs to be every time, but if at such a time that we can meet in person, I would like for it to happen once every 6 months if possible.
Could have a holiday party.
That's a good idea.
We could meet on someone's birthday and share their ice cream and cake and cookies.
Right.
Usually my birthday's on a meeting day.
We can make it that way.
Right.
Okay, so can I have a motion?
Oh,
Joe, you still?
So I was just going to say, I think we're going to have to be meeting, have some in-person meetings during the TSP update, because
yes.
I don't think the the Zoom meetings, as much as I kind of like them too, for us, I don't think they work so well for the citizens trying to have input.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a barrier. So if we do it, you know, a few times a year, as Catherine suggested, and make a big deal so that citizens can come and talk and give them more time, I think that might be a good compromise.
For special occasions or special programs or something. Yeah. Then you don't have to deal with that light, Joe.
Oh, they keep changing it on me, Corrine, so.
So, can we, can I have a motion then?
So I'll move.
Yep.
I'll move that we adopt what you suggest and look at the possibility of meeting in person when our business calls for it or seems to indicate the importance of that.
Okay.
I'll second it.
You got that, Scott? Let's see. Should I read it?
Yeah, so, okay. Well, that's the benefit of this is we have a recording of it. So
okay.
That's another benefit for staff to do the minutes is having the recording. Yeah.
Would you edit out some of the words that were unnecessary in that motion, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
And add my prose back in. Okay, great. Old, and I do mean old and unfinished business.
We need a vote.
Oh, we didn't vote.
Yeah.
Remember the Roberts rules.
I'm sorry. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand or say aye.
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 Thank you. So moved. Unanimously. Okay. Old business, Vision Zero. Scott, do you want to go over that, or should do I just want to thank you for the updated revision?
Would you like me to put it on the screen?
Sure.
If I can find it, let me work on getting it on the screen here.
Okay. And Corrine, how are you able to negotiate?
I could read that one in the minute,
okay.
In the stuff.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to add something. I've been hearing different cities around the country doing the zero thing. And it's on NPR. They've had
mm-hmm.
quite a bit of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the new the draft for the Transportation Safety Action Plan of the state also has it in there. And they actually have a goal of the no fatalities or serious injuries by a date of 2035. Which is encouraging, too, because it's possible that we'd be able to get funding from the state to be able to implement the action plan and get bike facilities.
So the resolution's on the screen. Just real quick, I think I captured in the update the generalized simplicity that the group generated consensus on overall for just having a shortened recital list overall, and then including, I believe it was the Planning Commission, as well as the Climate Policy and the Climate Conservation and Outreach Commission.
Yes. I'm still concerned that the resolution does not have recognition of the potential for reduced carbon emissions. But it's still implicit in the city's goals in the SEEP and in Chapter 13 of the current TSP Sustainability Plan, and it's referenced directly in the goals of the TSP update scope. So I'm thinking to add or have section three, one of two things, to have section three read, the Ashland City Council supports efforts by the City of Ashland's transportation, climate policy, conservation, and climate outreach and planning commissions to develop an action plan that prioritizes safety improvements for people walking, bicycling, rolling, and driving motorized vehicles. Or to include another resolution number that the Ashland City Council agrees to initiate a Vision Zero task force led by the Transportation Commission to develop a Vision Zero action plan. That way, you know, in our push to get approval from CPC and CCOC that we make it clear to them that the action plan is where the direction for integrating the climate GHG emissions will come into play.
I support that because if you try to make a direct link, it doesn't work.
Right.
Because you can have Vision Zero with no accidents, fatalities, and increase greenhouse gas emissions if people choose to drive their big, huge SUVs very carefully and slowly.
Right.
On the other hand, you can have people going into ludicrous mode in their Teslas and wiping out people left and right and creating zero emissions. So they are complementary, but I think right. If you try to link them directly, it doesn't make sense.
Anyone else?
I would go with your first suggestion when you said section three add on to it, the punch list. One thing here, section four, can we just correct the typo on a pond?
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Up zero on?
Yeah.
Up like zero that. On. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
So I don't quite understand. I'm still a little bit confused about in everything we're doing today. I'm confused about the process. Isn't the Transportation Commission the lead commission to deal with traffic and transportation?
Yes.
And so all these other commissions, we now have two commissions doing climate, only one doing transportation, and we say that three are going to do this. So, who's really doing it? I like the wording that you had where it just said the Transportation Commission is going to work with other commissions to take the lead or some wording like that.
Yeah.
To develop this plan. It is implicit, it's not implicit, as Bruce just said, we could do perfect safety and have terrible emissions. And if we have perfect safety and no bike lanes and no other things, people still aren't going to bike instead of drive. So I'm trying to figure out how to say it simply. We could say up in the top, if we really want to mention emissions, put an E or something like that, or a D1 and D2, where we say, if safer streets for pedestrian and bicyclists may lead to reduced driving and therefore reduced emissions, that's about as close as I think we can guarantee is that it may. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Like Linda and Scott who have to write this?
Yeah.
That word using may sounds wishy-washy, not like straightforward motivating. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I know it's what you mean, but it doesn't have a lot of motivation behind it, energy. I don't know. Can we think of another one?
I'm thinking I would rather not put that in there at all and then just have it as the action plan. And as we develop the action plan, that's where things like improving bike facilities and that kind of thing can help to push forward people being more willing to improve bike modal share, you know, if that even, you know, trying to include it that way in the action plan. Mark?
So is Vision Zero goal to get all the cars off the road and only have bicycles?
No.
Because that's what it keeps sounding like we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is take all cars off the road, you know, only allow it for bicycles and pedestrians.
That's why we have the prioritize safety improvements for people walking, bicycling, using mobility devices, and driving motorized vehicles. If we reduce speeds and we get the DUI people off and we get protected bike lanes in, we're making it safer for everybody.
Well, I was going with this. If we're going to talk about greenhouse gas versus safety, like Bruce has mentioned, Joe has mentioned it, makes it very difficult to put it in here. Because like I said, we lost 17% of our gas tax during last year. That means there's a 17% reduction in greenhouse gases committed last year, which means the state goals were actually met last year. So I think this KISS principle is the best way to do it. So I would agree not adding anything to the recitals, just maybe rewording section 3 or something.
Okay.
Can we have section 3 actually, instead of efforts to prioritize, which is also kind of a wishy-washy thing? I liked your wording of implementation plan, an implementation plan for Vision Zero in the city of Ashland. And as long as the Transportation Commission is taking the lead, I'm delighted with that.
Right.
I would say have the Transportation Commission take the lead, working in consultation. So it makes it clear that Vision Zero is a safety program. Transportation Commission is taking the lead. We can work in consultation because it, by implication, it can have climate benefits. But the goal is Vision Zero is safety.
Right.
And transport, then that's our job. That's not climate. That's not a climate job. That's not a conservation outreach job. That's our job.
Well, I don't think we even have to mention them. Just let us take the lead. But I'm just getting grumpy about how everybody has, we have to consult with everybody else, but everybody else ignores us.
Can we stay in collaboration with other city commissions, city commissions?
I think the whole idea is to get buy-in from all kinds of groups. Mm-hmm. And if we can get buy-in from the CPC and the CCOC, it strengthens our position in front of council.
But we want buy-in from citizens too.
Well, yeah, all kinds of stakeholders, you know, like
stakeholders. That's the right word.
Yeah.
There it is.
So, and that's all part of developing the action plan. And you've got to, you know, the action plan with education and pulling everybody into this concept of Vision Zero, changing the way we look at the transportation system and what it does.
So would you, I guess, I'll throw something out there.
Okay, Scott, go.
Kind of similar to combining everything, but saying the City of Ashland Council supports the City of Ashland Transportation Commission on their focus in development of the Vision Zero Action Plan. Something along that lines where you guys take it and it's solely for you to implement. I mean, we can say when we take the staff report to council that our intent is to collaborate with stakeholders, which includes the community, but it also includes other commission groups, because there are ancillary benefits to speed reduction outside of safety, GHG reduction, okay. You know, things like that. So it's just the straight focus, kind of what Joe and everybody was hitting on, is support the Transportation Commission in development of a Vision Zero action plan.
Like
that simplifies everything. We don't have to go to all those other commissions until after we need, until we need their help in finding the stakeholders and doing the educational programs. Sound good? Okay. You want to repeat that? Because I didn't write it down, Scott, so I can't.
So I think what we'll say is or generally along these lines, the Ashland City Council supports efforts or supports the City of Ashland's Transportation Commission in development of a Vision Zero action plan that I don't know if we want to say prioritizes or develops safety improvements for people walking, biking, rolling, using mobility devices, and driving motorized vehicles.
Yes. Okay. Do we need a motion?
So what I'd like to do is update this one last time and bring it back and have the group make a final motion to recommend that the city council accept the resolution as is. And then what I would do as well as develop the outline of the staff report that we would take to the city council, I think, so the group can kind of see the guts of that and what it takes to develop an action plan. And, you know, like I mentioned before, the collaboration and outreach with stakeholders and the other commissions and things like that. So we kind of develop more of a comprehensive package that you guys get to see and then make a recommendation to bring that forward to council.
Take to council.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. We'll not have a discussion on those memos to take to commissioners because we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So good.
Don't forget to take David Lohman off of the form.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant to mention that. Could you have to put Katrina Brown on there? Yep. I think unless they hire somebody tomorrow.
We might just put city attorney.
Yeah, there you go.
We won't name because I think they're going to bring back Doug on a contractual basis as well to help out. Okay.
Okay, city attorney. Okay, everybody good with that? Any more discussion or? We're all happy campers here. Okay, Scott. Great, Derek. Can you put up how do we want to do this? Do we want to do page by page on the TSP scope review or take comments from people? Okay, Scott, can you put it up and then we can follow along with the comments that I have?
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say too is that I kind of recollect is from our discussion last month, I think one of the things I said at the February meeting last year when we kind of kicked this around too is my intent from the staff side of everything is to bring information to this group discreetly, whether it be monthly or bi-monthly, the memos and all that information myself without involving the consultant to get some feedback and discussion as part of the process. I think we had that conversation. That way I'm not paying a consultant to come to every Transportation Commission meeting. Right. Was something that I could do. And get your feedback on these tech memos that we're going to develop. as part of the process. And the other thing too is I'm pretty sure I got the right scope in here this month, the updated one. It has a couple more dedicated work sessions specifically with the Transportation Commission as you get near the end of the project as well.
Right.
So that's in there. I added the Racial Justice and Social Equity Commission as the potential additional members for the CAC as well. Yeah. So we got some things were updated in there based on kind of our previous discussions. So we can.
Okay, well, he's setting that up. I feel this is a fairly complete document and one that I would approve to send to council for adoption. I especially appreciate the task two goals and objective statement with its emphasis on integrating the goals of the SEEP and a commitment to ensure Ashland continues to be an all ages community. On page 5, I think I might add and abilities. All ages and abilities. An all ages and abilities community.
Yep.
Okay.
Are we going to use ampersand or and or both?
Is he commingling?
Well, yes, we have one above there where we have ampersand when it comes to our climate and energy action plan. So you see right there, including the Ashland climate and energy. So we have it listed someplace else as and.
Oh, okay.
So there's a few formatting issues here.
We better be consistent. I'd go with and.
Spelling it out, yeah.
If we're going to have a document like this, I would prefer we spell out everything instead of using abbreviations.
Yeah. Except we're not going to spell out TSP every single time to Transportation System Plan.
Okay. I was referring to ampersands and things of that nature.
I know. Okay, let's go down here. Also, the draft the draft TSAP is coming up, and you guys still have possibilities for making comments on that till July 9th if you really want something exciting to do. So I don't know if you want to change that to put that in, or we'll just pretend like that's other as a document. I don't even think it was in there. Might have been in there somewhere else. Go up to the Oregon. There it is, Oregon Transportation Safety Action Plan. 2011, it's currently being updated to include a lot more bike stuff.
Say pending new, whatever the date, 21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the next page, I'd like Joe's interpretation. On the top of page 7, so the next one down, Scott, keep going to the top of page 7. Joe, what's the correct way to do A and B? Mm-hmm. Is it level of service? Would the service be capitalized or not? Joe's a professor, right?
I'm an English major.
I'm not an English professor.
I was an English major, and the actually volume to capacity ratio is correct with the hyphens, but the capacity doesn't need to be capitalized. Level of service probably should not have the hyphens, but I think people know what the intention is.
Okay. My thing is this, if we're going to pay $250,000 for a document to be produced, I would like at least to be professionally done.
Well said. Make those changes, Scott.
And I did look it up, Mark. It's about 1,350 hours.
Okay.
Of assumed time to develop
it. That's 300 hours more than I said, so you'll actually get buy-in now from me.
Okay. Next, I have on page 8. And in general, okay, under evaluation criteria, okay, in general, we changed this on back farther down in the document, I think under funding, but to have multimodal improvements first and road capacity improvements second. Just to show our commitment to a less auto-centric Ashland.
Yeah, I think we changed put the bike ones up higher on the list previously.
Yeah. Yeah, unless state requirements, you know, say that you've got to put the roadways first. Can we do that?
Yeah, no, we can organize it however we want.
Okay. So on page 10 and 11, we'd switch the roadway system inventory with bike and ped inventory first. Does everybody agree with this? What I'm doing here?
I'm happy with it if it makes people feel better, but I don't think it's going to make any difference to the product.
Yeah, okay. I see that. I'm just hoping to look at it that way. I want, you know, that's the problem with visions and goals and statements like this, but. And with the plan itself, but okay. And then the next one would be page 18. Switch auto related alternatives with bicycle and pedestrian connectivity. Okay. On page 13, I've got a question to know if traffic counts also include bike and ped numbers, and if crash analysis will include injury and fatality data.
Crash analysis will for sure, and I'm almost 99% positive that traffic counts will include all things traffic related. All modes of transportation are counted. But I will verify number one with Matt.
Okay.
I'm sorry to go backwards real quick on this one, but you know, we talk about GIS data in there, but we don't tell anybody what GIS is.
Okay.
You have it right there, and even on this page 13, GIS data, the first mention of GIS data is under inventory under task 3, but we don't say what GIS is.
What is it?
I believe it's government information system.
Okay.
Geographical information.
Oh, see, I was wrong.
Geographical
I thought it was government information system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Change those.
Well, you just need to have it written out once. It's not written out any time. We even say GIS.
Yeah, just the first time. Okay, anybody else have any other Scott kind of answered my question. I was thinking that we'd have a more formalized role for the TC be included in the small group briefings and stuff, like we should each, one of us should be there at all of these meetings. But I think if we get information from Scott, we don't really need that unless Joe thinks we should do it.
Well, Joe has a general question for Scott, and maybe I'm out of it, but it was always my impression that the TSP was supposed to be approved by both the Transportation Commission and the Planning Commission, in addition to obviously council.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are in our usual position of we get a work session, but we don't get approval in this document. And so either we don't have to approve it because for some reason I was wrong or it's changed or the city ordinance doesn't say we have to approve the transportation system plan, or we need to be in there as an approval equal to the planning commission. And this still just says we get work sessions. And so maybe Scott, you can answer my question. Are we supposed to approve it or aren't we supposed to approve it? Because if we're not supposed to approve it, but we're supposed to implement it, that seems silly. But if other people are approving it and we're really not, all we're doing is providing input, that seems backwards as well. So I'm confused.
Yeah, so I think, and we can clear up because I'm looking at this, the work session number two under task 8, the adoption process. That is my intent, or my thought process intent, is that the Transportation Commission needs to make a recommendation to council to adopt the final plan and as amended, tweaked, however it may be. And so that was my intent, but I think we can clarify that in the language for that scope that the Transportation Commission will be requested to make a recommendation on adoption as part of the formal process through the city council.
Yeah, but that's not what the document says. And
your
intention is correct, and I like your intention. But if we worry about commas and dashes, we should really worry about the fact that the document nowhere says that we approve it. It simply says. Consultant shall attend Transportation Commission work session number two to present documents and answer questions. Now that's like, what we did with that development out that just got overturned, where we answered questions and nobody did anything about it. But this is important because this is what the Transportation Commission is going to be doing for the next decade.
Right.
And I think, We should at least be on an equal footing with the planning commission. And I don't understand why we're not and why we haven't been in draft after draft after draft.
So perhaps we should have a public hearing.
Yeah. So we would bump the task down all one number, and 8.3 would become Transportation Commission hearing, and then planning, and then city council final adoption to clarify that recommendation requirement, because I wouldn't be taking a TSP update to the council unless the Transportation Commission made a recommendation to adopt the TSP. So we can clarify that with that bullet point adjustment in the task.
Yeah. Well, what they've said is they've said in the work session for the Transportation Commission for presentation of the draft.
Yeah.
But for the Planning Commission, they say for consideration of the draft. So it just says they have to show it to us. And then they can do whatever the heck they please, because the Planning Commission and Council are going to decide whether they like it or not. And that seems to me to be not right.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been right in every draft. It's getting better, less bad.
Yeah.
But it's still not right. If in fact, by ordinance, we're supposed to approve it, we need to be in there to approve it. If we're not supposed to approve it, then why waste our time?
We'll tweak that. So, we'll get it in there for a formal discussion.
Is there, can I ask a question too? Is there an effort to, for instance, when the Planning Commission has its hearing, to share with us, or we would be there, what their decision was? And if so, we want to be the lead one here, then maybe we should be point number 8-4 after the Planning Commission. So we are sure if these happen in some chronological order, then maybe let the Planning Commission hear it first and let us hear it second, so that we can agree or disagree with what the Planning Commission says, rather than as it might be now.
Hmm. So I have a recommendation on that. That makes logical sense to me, kind of based on our discussion. What I would say is part of that then, or try to work it into task 8-1, is during that presentation, the new task, if we add 8-3, which is the Transportation Commission hearing, and then say the Transportation Commission will make a recommendation as part of the process to both the Planning Commission and the council, or something along that lines, for adoption of the transportation system plan update.
So Scott, do I understand correctly? Maybe I missed it. Is 8?
And all's well.
Yeah, that's right. All is well. Is section 8 the first time council and the Planning Commission get to see it?
No, they have the same one, and I think it's in section 6.
Drafts.
Okay,
drafts,
so.
The drafts.
Yeah, the draft.
So they've got a work session. So having a work session with us and then a work session with them isn't so bad, but then we need to have a formal hearing, just like Planning Commission does.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
So we either 8-3 is hearings, or we have a joint hearing or something. Because it's kind of okay for them to have a work session after we have a work session. But then we should have a hearing after they have their work session, and the consultants make changes, presumably based upon the input they get from council and the Planning Commission. Because it feels like we should have some final say there. Otherwise, even if we approve it, and then it goes to those work session 2 with the planning and city council, and then the hearings for them, we're out of the loop again. I mean, I hate to have so many meetings.
And that's what, wasn't Catherine saying, do the Transportation Commission hearing after the Planning Commission hearing?
I think we have to do both. I hate to say it. We have to do the work session.
Yeah.
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 And then
yeah.
somewhere in 8-3 or 8-4, in that 8-3 and 8-4 range, we have to have our own hearing to approve it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
add one.
It gets shifted. The transportation becomes 8-4. Council becomes 8-5.
Yes.
And so on.
Right, right.
Yes.
Excellent. Yes.
Yes. We got the power back.
Yep.
Okay.
This time, maybe.
We'll see. Okay, anybody have any other comments on it? Oh, good. Thank you. Well, if Scott's doing that, we could sing happy birthday to Mark.
So does somebody have a radio on in the background? I keep hearing it. I'm pretty sure it's not me.
I hear it too.
Let me see.
Well, we can say goodbye to Bruce. This is his last session, and he has a 100% attendance record. And that's
when we get to the next topic, you may find out you won't get rid of me as easily as you might think. I'll be back, just sort of facing the other direction.
Okay,
all done.
So I guess a process question for the group then. We can make all these updates and clean it up. Would you guys like to see it one more time as a final to make a recommendation to move forward to council? Or are you comfortable based on our discussion of where we're going to end up? For process, it makes no never mind on the staff side, and timing is not really affected.
So we're not delaying getting it to council by doing that?
No. With everything that's going on in council and things that need to be resolved, I think we can clean this up. We can get it to where everyone is comfortable and agrees. But it's up to you guys if you want one last look. The other thing that I think I would do again is, if we're going to head that route, is to draft my staff report so you guys see what I would put in to send to council, so you guys could have a chance to comment on that, make sure I'm not up zero on or things like that, in my information, and we get the motion correct on a recommendation, things of that nature.
Well, Catherine,
it seems to me we should get the whole packet together, and if we can look at it again next month, with all the corrections, or not that there were that many, that would be a good way to go.
Okay. Is that good for you, Scott?
Yeah, that's fine. And the other thing I forgot to mention, but we should probably talk about it, is as far as trying to get members for the Citizen Advisory Committee, I think it would be beneficial if the group here could put some names together or try to get some names for a few of the people.
How many people are we thinking about? How many people are going to be on this?
I would like, from a functionality standpoint, how many we got there? A lot. 8 to 12 is a lot.
Yeah.
To manage that group. So I wouldn't want to go any more than that.
3, 4, 5, 6. Scott, saw that there was a senior group on the list, but I didn't see anything about disability unless I missed it. They're different. They're not the same.
Not the representative of the transportation disadvantaged?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, that's right. Not the same.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Title VII is not the same either.
Last time for the downtown thing, we were on the TAC. You had the disability stuff on the TAC committee.
Oh.
But I don't know.
That's a good one. What do you think, Corinne, the language would be for that for a member?
Disability community?
Okay.
Will that work? I don't remember what the senior one said.
It's a senior advisory committee member from the senior center.
Right. We don't have a disability advisory committee, do we, except for Dude, my group. But why don't we just say a representative from the disability community?
Okay.
But should that be on the TAC or the CAC?
You know, I actually think it's probably more important on the TAC.
Okay. That's where we were when we started that downtown,
downtown
thing a while ago. Yeah.
Hmm. The revitalized downtown?
Yep.
Were you on that?
Yeah. Well, I was on the TAC, not on the citizen thing. So I wasn't part of Joe's headaches or anything.
Yeah, to me it fits more on the technical side of everything because they're providing technical review against projects and guidance that way. Where the citizen group is providing community level input, maybe not at the technical level, but the overarching goals and policies and things of that nature that are less technical. So we can...
That makes sense because, that makes sense.
Okay.
In some ways, I would say that the representation from seniors would also be a technical issue. But I guess all of those under the CAC have some input
can be
side too.
I kind of like having the TAC be, these look to be actually, you know, more staff, more transportation professionals, quote unquote. And the citizens advisor, because if we start saying if you only get input, if you good input, if you're on the TAC, then everybody's going to want to be on the TAC. Everybody's going to want their group to be on the TAC.
Oh.
I mean, I was even sitting here thinking, why isn't the Transportation Commission on the TAC?
I was thinking that too.
and so I think we have to be a little bit careful because they're much more concerned with, you know, how does it fit with ordinances? How does it match, you know, all the best practices of transportation and all that sort of thing, much more so than the citizens who are basically going to say, what's my group going to get out of this? To overstate it a little bit. And I think both those are important, but I'm not sure mixing them is a good idea.
I concur with Joe, and I was going to say the same exact thing, because the TAC committee is groups of organizations, public works, roads department, Department of Transportation, Department of Land, Rogue Valley Transit District. Having me, Joe Blow, guy with two crutches and a plastic, my blue handicap placard, really doesn't get me to be on the technical advisory committee. And yes, I do have one. I am technically disabled by the state of Oregon and California.
But there's more to issues around disability and transportation and getting around than just blue placards.
So
there's
maybe
access to things.
That's more technical.
But I think the access stuff is more technical than just, I don't know. That's.
Corrine, 5 years ago, I was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I understand all the rules that go into public transportation, getting picked up in a wheelchair and everything else of that nature. And I don't think that I have anything to do with the technical advisory aspect of this. So I needed to use public transportation. I had to understand what ramps were. I had to sit there and complain about bumps and sidewalks. But that doesn't mean I'm a technical expert, in my opinion.
Well,
I think I've been better
ADA.
Off.
Of there is the ADA, and my groups, you know,
Yeah,
fluent,
but ADA,
and that's
ODOT
difficult.
Has to follow ADA compliance. Jackson County
right,
Road Department has to follow ADA compliance.
Right, but sometimes they don't. Yeah, sometimes they get confused and don't do it right. I don't know. Scott can figure out where we should go, but I think we should be included.
Of course, Scott.
So I think part of this falls under F in the TAC. Others is deemed appropriate or invited to participate in individual meetings when certain expertise is required throughout the project. That for sure gets disabled members in to talk about specifics about, just like you said, Corinne, ADA and accessibility and how things are looked at or felt in that environment.
They're actual structures that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
not just feel-good stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So on that same note, would we want a climate expert? Since we're integrating the SEEP into the whole deal, or is it good enough to have the Climate Policy Conservation Commission represented in the CAC?
I think it's probably good enough in the CAC. We've danced around this with the ancillary benefits of transportation-related
yeah.
improvements impact GHG items. And they'll have representation to comment on all that stuff as part of that. So,
okay.
I don't think we're going to be talking about some of that nuts and bolts of electric vehicles and things like that as part of the TAC process.
Okay.
I think that would be more overarching, like we talked about last month, in the policy related sections, how we can implement policies that promote those.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want volunteers for the CAC right now or not? I don't want to.
Let's do that next month when you guys see the final scope and the
okay.
staff report. Yeah.
All right. So, but do you want recommendations for other people in those other groups?
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we look at outside, if there's people that you know that are active transportation advocates, represent the disadvantaged local community members, kind of the community member at large that you think would be good. Any sort of recommendations that we could bring as a baseline
okay.
to feed up to the mayor and council would help.
Thank you. We satisfied with that? Are we moving on? Okay. SEEP implementation plan. Okay, it seems to me that the points we made in our discussion were answered by Gary in his letter, and that we are already incorporating the discussion of these in the scope for the TSP update. So I'm confident that all or most of what Gary, through the work of the CPC, will also be incorporated into the TSP through the update process. Does anybody want to make any more comments on this or have any input?
So I always worry when some other group decides to redesign the city transportation system. When I see things like a redesigned plaza as part of the report, I again wonder what's the process.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything that's in there is the general principles that they have are general principles that this commission has talked about forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Transportation Commission.
Yeah.
They made a prettier report than we've made. But I get concerned because way in the past, there was a group that was going to beautify downtown and they made all these plans and presented them directly to City Council about changing crosswalks and things like that. And I don't want to have us have that happen, that, you know, we've got now two committees, I guess, on climate. And are each one of those going to do their own design for the transportation system above general principles? Because the general principles, yeah, I have no problem with. I mean, the goals they have, the only way we quickly reduce emissions is to get people out of car, internal combustion engines.
Yeah.
I'm still not impressed with the response to my comment about what are we doing with all the commuters. But you know, that's the only thing we can do. And we all agree on that. And we all know we have to have better transit. And we know we need more electric vehicles. And we know that the city eventually has to suck it up and do something about downtown parking and getting bikes through downtown.
Yes.
We've known that for years.
Yeah.
So how are we going to make all this happen, and who's going to do it? Is it going to be us, or is it going to be them? Are we going to take what they've given us and use that as ammunition to move forward on some of the initiatives we've been trying to do for a while? Or are they going to do it first and then we're going to have to implement it? That's kind of the thing that I worry about when I see these things that get beyond just general principles and get into designing the transportation system. Maybe I'm the only one who feels that way, but I felt I had to say that.
No, my feeling is that we're doing the transportation system plan update. The CPC has backed off on doing the SEEP update. They're moving in a different direction and changing the way that they're approaching implementation and action. As maybe pointed out in, where is it? Rick Barth, where do I have? No, I can't find it. Rick Barth brought up the comment that's in the pack that I just sent out for the consultation. God darn it. Anyway, I'm not worried about them going to implement anything or try to put anything through their plan that doesn't go through the Transportation Commission.
Okay, well, you're our chair, and you can set our agenda.
Okay.
It's just a question of whether they're going to go around us or not. And I guess this coalition is going to stop that, because you're going to be on it and you're going to keep that from happening. Is that
That's
correct?
Right. That's right. With your permission.
Yeah, and we review the whole thing at the end, right? So we can kick it out.
Yeah, and they're going to be making changes on this, you know, all along. This is just one part of the CPC's plan to deal with adaptation and mitigation. But you know, Gary has done an incredible job of these very detailed plans, but it's still in process. There's nothing, you know, that's being checked off right now.
Please note that you may run into me in the not too distant future, particularly Linda, because I've agreed to be the SOHEVA representative as liaison with the Climate Policy Commission. It's worthwhile because Rick and I have known each other for years.
Oh, that's great.
And also, representing Sohaiba on the new Ashland Climate Coalition. So it's kind of a coalition effort to get all the stakeholders involved, everybody contributing their expertise. But as far as the core responsibilities of the Transportation Commission, I think the climate, at least the Climate Policy Commission, will defer to the Transportation Commission on those matters.
Yes.
So
they're trying to get advocacy for action, but that doesn't mean they're going to not come to the Transportation Commission when we, you know, there's a capital improvement project that is in the TSP that we want to put forward, and they're just going to advocate to get that in the through the process. Does that make sense, Scott?
Yeah, and I think for a matter of process, and maybe this goes to a little bit of Joe's discussion, what's the CPC expecting from the Transportation Commission as part of this? Since they've sort of switched from the update to more of kind of actionable related things moving forward a little bit, I think I look at this now almost as a statement from the Transportation Commission to the CPC saying, you know, the goals or the policies developed within the CEEP document are supported by the Transportation Commission and will be re-vetted in the transportation system plan update type of deal. As we're looking at these policies that they were originally asking to be questioned and how we implement them, which I think is kind of what Joe was saying. All these are generally where we want to be, but I think too, we want to re-vet that as part of our TSP process and make sure those are still kind of on target for expectations, because you have RTSB that's 2012, you have the CEEP, which is 2017, we're in 2021. We're going to look at all these goals and policies as part of that process update. And we might want to change some things that more align with our expectations in the future.
Yeah, and that's really what the update is all about. So.
And I have a real big problem with that 3.1. So driving a motor vehicle is the safest thing to do, is what they're trying to say, first of all. Second of all, I mean, I have been hit by bicycles in crosswalks. So it shouldn't be as safe as driving a motor vehicle, because me walking a crosswalk shouldn't be getting hit by bicycles. So the statement itself, construct or reconstruct the existing transportation network to ensure that non-motorized travel are safe as driving motor vehicle. What's that? What is safe as driving motor vehicle? We just see accident reports on a regular basis. So what is safe as driving motor vehicle?
Yeah,
and I think we've brought that up in our questions to him.
Well, I did get a sense in the response to our questions that there was a lot of defensiveness there. And maybe that was just me too.
Explanation.
But the explanations, but it felt defensive. And I think, you know, we've been thinking about this for a long time. I'll say again, there's almost nothing in there that we haven't talked about and wrestled with for years.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff about better bicycle through town, you know, that's been wrestled with by groups all over the place. And there's a number of these things in here. We're all in favor of doing them, but actually getting them to happen in our political system is going to be less than easy. And if they're behind it, that's great. But I want to be sure that we don't have the tail wagging the dog, because I kind of think in this case, we're the dog. And we should be in charge of, you know, doing these transportation plans. Now, there are plenty of things that they should be in charge of and that they should be doing.
Yeah.
And that I'm happy that they're going to do them. But redesigning the plaza or telling us how to build a street design for safe bicycling and arguing that people are going to bicycle in Ashland because people in some urban area bicycle. You know, we've heard all that before. It doesn't help the argument. It doesn't help us do that. And I would say safety is one thing, but perceived safety is much more important to get people
right
out of their cars. And that's really going to be hard.
Yeah.
And the design of the city, it's the hills and everything else make it very difficult. So it's going to be a challenge. And we could make the best, safest transportation system, and people still might not use it to just get out of their cars. Anyway, I said too much. I'm starting to blather, so I've got to stop.
This document appears to me as something that was written by committee, and it's a bit of a hodgepodge. I think it's going in the right direction, but we have to make sure the Transportation Commission gets to do its job and take these things that apply primarily to what is the commission's mission as suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we'd like you to consider, and leave that to them, sort of the core greenhouse gas emission stuff.
Right. Knowing full well that 30% of the greenhouse gas emissions come from transportation network.
Well, what I meant by that is the most obvious example is, whose job is it to convert gas vehicles from electric vehicles to electric vehicles? Is that the climate job or is that transportation? I tend to think it's more climate.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation job is you have a motor vehicle. And how does that motor vehicle interact with the other? Because multimodal is in the commission's mission. Greenhouse gas reduction is not. So how do you deal with greenhouse gas emissions within the multimodal mandate? And then climate policy can deal with, okay, you have a private automobile component. How do you reduce those greenhouse gas emissions by going electric, fuel cell, whatever? So it's subtle, but I think there is a difference there.
I agree, Bruce, there's a difference, but also, I mean, things like getting rid of all parking for ICE vehicles in downtown and turning them all into chargers,
mm-hmm.
that also has to be the Transportation Commission.
Exactly. Once you get to capital projects, improvement streets, then you've crossed over the line.
Sidewalks.
Yeah, a sidewalk. In other words, the transportation network. Because a vehicle, if you look as a motor vehicle, whether it's electric or gasoline, as being a motor vehicle in the transportation network, that's the Transportation Commission's job to deal with that. There's crossover on how many chargers do you put where. I mean, but that's minor. That's minor. At least for the time being.
Okay, so I have a question in regards to the chargers. Stu and the climate specialist has gotten grants for the chargers, and the chargers have gone up. Should we have been consulted about where they went?
No, because at some point, if you want equity, then is it equity in where you put chargers for, say, people of low income? That's probably more transportation.
I think it's another one of those overlaps, though, because if you're taking you're taking away general use parking spaces and turning them into EV only parking spaces, that's the same as making a loading zone or doing something else.
Or 15 in
the parking system, right. And so we have to be involved. Should we have been involved in all the ones they've already replaced in the public parking? Probably yes. They should have at least waved it at us when they went by, because that's supposed to be our bailiwick. we're supposed to be looking at parking because nobody else is.
Yeah.
I'll grant Joe on that.
So
whether or not somebody buys an electric car.
So, but incentives for people to buy electric vehicles, that's not our deal.
Right.
That's better done by the climate, whichever climate group of the two is doing whatever they're doing. But you know, changing parking regulations, doing those sorts of things, those should have come at least past us, right, if not through us.
However, it involves the transportation infrastructure, transportation. Yeah.
I suspect this always happens when you start a new group with a with a new mission that's not necessarily. Well, yeah, I mean, everybody thinks their mission should be the umbrella under which everybody else functions, just like we do. And so, you know, there's some growing pains that are going to go on. That's why working together is so important instead of these cross purposes. The other problem that always happens, I always joke, if I can take a minute to say something that I think is kind of funny. You know, since we have computers that make beautiful diagrams and all these things, instead of writing stuff up on butcher paper, everybody thinks it's a done deal. And the stakes go way up having these pretty documents instead of just a general, written in crayon on butcher paper somewhere and things like that. So it's interesting to have watched this over time. I know in my academic career, everybody got much more worried when it was a fully printed document than it was something that somebody just wrote on a blackboard during a meeting.
Hmm. And especially when you have them as part of packets and public record.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So do we have to do anything about this stuff, or are we? Was it just to talk?
It was just to discuss it and talk about it and see, you know, if we had any more comments to send to
I think it's on their other thing about the gas tax thing they had somewhere. They were talking about a gasoline tax.
Yeah.
And it would give a thing back to people of low incomes with the end of year rebate or whatever it is. The
energy rebate.
Yeah. Well, you can't do it end of year to people who are low income. They need it instantaneous.
Yeah. Well, you know, the gas tax is gas and user tax is going to come up in transportation commission. That's our, that's us.
Again,
that's not their purview.
So Linda, I guess we haven't talked yet about that coalition that you wanted us to talk about, but I'm assuming that the way the process is going to go is if somebody in one of these committees decides that they wanted to take something directly to council, you're going to be there to say, no, you can't go directly to council.
You have to go through
the transportation commission.
Yes.
And can the 2-1 outvote you? Since there's two climate commissions and only one transportation commission?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be a much bigger group. It's not just the three commissions. There's going to be all kinds of stakeholders involved in it.
Okay. So what's their role relative to the commissions then?
My thinking is that they're trying to get a huge advocacy group to work on climate issues.
Okay.
And
so,
try to advocate for them through the commissions to the council.
Okay. So who's gonna tell the climate commission that they can't go to council with a proposal to redesign the plaza? Is that you? Is that Scott? Is that Stu Green? Is that who?
I guess me.
Okay, then that means they have to actually talk to you about it.
Yes.
Because if you're diluted in this big group of
I know.
Who knows how many climate advocates.
Yeah.
How are you going to actually do that? If it's just the three chairs who are meeting and coordinating, that sounds great.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't sound like what we're getting. Anyway, that's not even a part of this agenda item, so I'm sorry.
It's kind of continued over into that other thing, because I think we're done with responding to Gary. If anybody wants to make any other comments to Gary, send it to him. But I think we too should make some kind of statement, Scott, about making sure that any policy that's presented that involves the transportation system needs to go through the Transportation Commission.
Yeah, and I think kind of what Bruce and Joe and everyone have been talking about, I think what I would like to do from my perspective is send Stu an email, being the staff liaison to that commission, and just say, we've reviewed the information provided by CPC members. The Transportation Commission, is moving forward with a TSP update. We will be reassessing all the goals and policies developed in all previous plans moving forward. And that the Transportation Commission sole focus is on the transportation related system and anything associated with that in a SEEP document that needs to be moved forward should come to the Transportation Commission before it goes to the City Council on any level.
Excellent.
Something along that line.
All
words.
That's good.
I trust you.
Okay.
Implicitly.
The only thing else would be maybe have Stu tell them to use the same data set, because Stu Green gave us a great presentation upon how much greenhouse gas emissions were committed by certain things, and vehicles was 17%. That's in Stu Green's report. Now, if we look through this report, you're going to see it says 27%, because now they added 10% in for the actual manufacturing of the vehicle. So now we have 27% for the car, right? So if you went over Stu's presentation and he gave us last time with the update, car travel, 17%. So now with this documentation, we're car travel at 27%.
Right.
So it looks like we're trying to mislead our people, because we're talking about car travel, 17 to 27, that's a really big number. So if we're going to use city's data of 17% and then tap on 10% on it, just be consistent with data, you know what I mean?
Well, I look at it too in another way, that you take this sum between electric and standard, you're still 3 tons lower on an electric over the lifespan of the car. So it's still a net negative reduction in GHG, although it's weirdly portrayed here to make it seem that they're pretty similar.
Yeah, that's another thing I was gonna say. It's kind of a bad statistic to stick in there. All cars are bad while they're being produced.
Yeah.
That one's for production only. So that's one of the things that I don't like when you're trying to mislead people. It's not misleading. It's using your data to your analysis or how you want to fit it. But Stu sat there and told us, I actually called Stu out on 17%. Now we're saying in this document, 27%. Because pretty soon it'll be 99.8%.
Well, it is almost 100% of the low-hanging fruit. I mean, that's for sure, because all the other stuff is way harder.
Yeah.
It's even way harder to deal with the pollution from commuters who are coming into town.
We can get them an electric too, but it's real hard for a lot of people to replace their gas heating their home.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the CPC is definitely pushing for that particular aspect of the climate goals.
Yeah.
Not trying to get everybody on bikes, although that's part of it.
You want to get everybody on bikes that you can get on bikes and get everybody else on electric cars.
Right.
That's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah, we still have the parking and congestion problems, though.
No. But if you can get...
It's complex. Yeah.
Complicated.
But
They're saying that we can't... Even if we got everybody in electric vehicles, we wouldn't be able to hit the SEEP goals, GHG goals, by 2050.
No.
Can't do it. Okay, can I get your permission to join the consortium as a representative of the climate consortium, and me as a member of that consortium? Final item.
I move that we nominate you that.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Knew I could depend on you guys. All in favor?
Aye.
Derek?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, my daughter's doing something.
I'm sorry. I just got approval to be on the consortium, the climate consortium.
I'm in favor of that, absolutely.
Great. Okay. Any other informational things or?
Yeah, I have one informational item for Bruce.
Good.
By the way, Bruce, did you realize that Astoria, Oregon, historically has more accidents and traffic fatalities than Ashland?
Yeah, but I think one reason for that is their major highway runs through town.
Yes, but you always
99 is bad, but that stretch of whatever, what is it, 26 that runs through Astoria.
26, yeah.
A lot of trucks, I would say that's the main reason. Once you get off that highway, I would bet we're pretty much.
I had to give you a little grief on your last meeting.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I'm going to find something that Ashland and Astoria aren't about.
Okay. And Scott, do we have
a question for Scott?
Yeah.
Go. Scott, when is the Tolman Siskiyou intersection going to get fixed? Because it's really hard to cross without a dog.
They point the
curb cuts point you out in traffic, and it's just not lined up.
So I don't know the schedule. I know that you guys saw that design. The design is almost complete. I don't know when their construction schedule is going to happen, but I would expect most likely between now and the end of the year. As Officer McLennan said, that stop sign got hit again in the last month. So part of that goal, that project, is to reduce that stop sign from being crushed. And I know as far as the maintenance side of it and talking to Jeremiah Griffin at ODOT, they really want to get that done. So what I would expect, Corinne, between now and the end of the year.
Will we be able to see that plan again? Would Jenna have access to that plan to explain it?
Jenna would have access to that plan, yes.
Because, you know, sometimes we need to make a physical representation, like a drawing of it, to really get it. Okay.
I thought I saw some construction out there today when I was...
They're doing the chip seal project. So they're chip sealing Siskiyou, ODOT is, from Walker all the way to the interstate.
Okay.
Yeah, they're sweeping it up now and...
Okay.
The calls,
start
coming in.
Do they do both sides of the road or just one side at a time so you can drive or walk or whatever?
They're going to make single lane. I think they're going to put single lane through there, so there's going to be delays.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be sectionalized in chunks, yeah.
So when they do the residential streets that are really narrow, how do they do that so that you can get to your house and stuff?
Well, they didn't do that this last time, and Paula was stuck at on her street because they slurry sealed the whole place with only one way out. So that was a contractor's fault.
How long does it take to dry before you can use it?
That evening. That evening, the very same evening they do the final thing, you can drive on it.
Yeah, depending on the temperatures.
Without sticking to it?
Oh, true.
Depending on the temperatures, kind of four hours to 6 hours, it usually sets off and is drivable for those types of improvements. And so that's why generally they look at closing the road down for 8 hours, and they'll open it up sooner than that if they know that the surface is set.
Which requires, it can't be hot, right? If it's as hot as it's going to be, it would take longer then, right?
It will take longer for the chip seal to pop, yeah.
Now, I think when they did our street, they must have come through the next 3 or 4 days with street sweepers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They do that for the slurry seal because it picks up the shedding.
Right.
So everything that didn't fully adhere that sheds off. So they pick it up with a street sweeper to make sure it doesn't get into the storm drain system.
Yeah. But the chip seal is a different process.
Chip seal is a little bit bigger aggregate. And depending on if they do a double chip or a single chip, what ODOT will be doing is they'll be doing a cape seal on top of it. So they'll be coming back and putting a emulsion sealant over the top of the chip seal itself. So just think of it as really heavy duty black spray paint to keep the system together.
Okay, I have a question. Does it stick to your shoes and will it stick to the dog's paws?
It will if you get on it while before it's set up.
Okay, well, more excuses to stay home.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and watch for the complaints to start coming in too. So.
What about that North Main crosswalk?
Yeah.
So I think I'm waiting. I'm supposed to get an intergovernmental agreement from ODOT because we've agreed to pay the cost for the flashing beacon portion of the construction, because that was an add upgrade that we've requested because it's been in our queue. What I'd like to do is bring that before the commission to get a recommendation, because it's a little bit more expensive than we initially estimated. Because of some of the construction changes we've had to do. So I'd like to bring that IGA to the commission to make a recommendation that the council accept the IGA based on all the work that you guys have done to get those crosswalks in there. That project, I believe, is on track to be bid and start construction in October. Now there's a significant number of ADA ramps in the region. But that includes all of them through North Main and out to Siskiyou as part of that project.
Wow.
So, it's supposed to be done by, I believe, next summer, the total construction project. So there'll be marked crosswalks in there. I would speculate to say it no later than next summer, and the flashing beacon at Van Ness.
Well... Glory be.
Are we going to do an educational program to remind people that there are going to be those crosswalks there? Because I'm afraid that if people aren't expecting them, they'll, especially the one at Nursery, they'll, you know, be charging up or down the hill, getting out of town or coming into town, and they'll forget about it.
Yeah. I took a note from when you mentioned that before, Joe, and I think we'll definitely push some informational stuff out there. And I don't know, too, if we'll put out our little reader boards, you know, out there as information as well, traffic control change ahead, caution for pedestrians, we'll leave out some of that advanced warning signing, maybe the roll-ups with the flags on it for a little bit, just to give people some heads up. And we could probably send another thing into the UB insert and post on the website. So we'll definitely get some information out there.
Right. Be sure to say something about, in response to several comments from citizens about wanting to have more safe places to cross, we've put these in, because otherwise we're going to probably hear about how it's disrupting traffic flow in the road diet. Well, we will anyway.
Yeah,
but
we will anyway. Yeah.
Yes,
it's the North Main Corridor project.
Safety corridor. North Main safety corridor project.
Safety corridor. Okay.
So I came in just a little bit late and I missed the part about Shannon. I don't know if you have other things to do, or maybe some. I don't want to take everybody's time.
She left the fold here to another opportunity in North Bend or Coos Bay.
North Bend, yeah.
Yeah, took the family out there, and so we're left without another administrative support person. So that's why the Airport Commission was on our commission PDF.
Well, we seem to be the commission that chases away all kinds of staff. Fortunately, we haven't yet chased away Scott.
We'll get him.
No, he can't go. He's committed through the TSP update now. He said he's going to be here.
But I think Scott got a promotion, did he not? Because you are no longer the interim public works director. You are the public works director, correct?
He's been that for a while now.
Yeah, last October.
Yeah.
Well, how come nobody knew that? How come we didn't know that? I mean, I'm always the last to know everything, but very much congratulations, Scott.
Thanks.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Didn't you complete an engineering program too, or degree or something?
I got my licensure in 18. Yeah.
Licensure, right.
Yeah.
You had to pass the test.
I finally passed the wicked test. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kind of like the bar for engineers.
Yeah.
Since I wasn't here last month, I want to thank you, Linda and Mark, for taking on the leadership again of our commission. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay, should I end the meeting a little early so our friend Mark can go have some cake and ice cream?
Get into a sugar coma.
Yeah.
Yep. You're only 25 once, Mark.
That was like I say, it's been a good 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I know Linda will probably be bumping into me soon at the Climate Coalition meetings, but I'll probably be seeing you here and there in not too distant future.
Yeah, driving down the block in your electric vehicle, Bruce. I wave at you every time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bruce. You know, Bruce on being chair for a while and kept us honest for a while and was a real contributor to the commission. We sure appreciate it. We'll miss you.
Definitely.
Thank you, Bruce.
Learned a lot.
Come visit so that we have somebody watching during our meetings.
I'll do that.
What is the size of, what do we need for a quorum? What constitutes a quorum line?
Four. Even if there's a vacancy. So, and that's another thing. If you know anybody that wants to be a commissioner, have them apply. Have them watch a meeting and apply. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Meeting adjourned.
Bye.
See you next month.